And we're back at the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. I'm Hollis Walker, sitting in for Mary Charlotte this morning. And my guest today is Isa Niafaga. I'm trying really hard to say your name right. if you can't hear yourself, Isa, play with that little knob there.
Can you hear myself now?
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Very good. Little technical difficulty there.
Sure.
So, Isa's been on this show before. How am I doing with the pronunciation of your name?
Great. You're doing incredible.
Okay, thank you. Isa's been on this show before with Mary Charlotte, and he is an internationally known fine artist and human rights advocate who was a political cartoonist and was jailed and tortured in Cameroon, his home country, for the controversial political cartoons that he drew. So he's been in exile for some time and goes back and forth to Cameroon and has used his art to raise funds to do various development projects. Tell us a little about the first kinds of projects you did.
Well, it started in about 12 years ago. So I was living in France and I took a trip back home. I wasn't allowed, but I did it anyway because my parents were very sick and I was afraid that I may not see them again. So I went to Cameroon and I hung out in the village where I came from and I saw a little guy, a little boy who was crawling down like a snake. And so it brought back memory of my childhood because I was born very poor, very, very poor, but I didn't know I was poor because I would see those situations in my daily life. And the reason why I didn't think I was poor is because I can walk to get my own food in the farm or walk to the river to get water for cooking or walk to the wood, to the forest to go collect wood for the cooking for my mother in the evening and I farm for her. And I walk to school, so sometimes we carry people with disability we could not get around. So it brought back those memories and I went back to Paris with pictures of this little guy, Ibrahim. He was about 11 years old. And so
couldn't walk.
He had polio,
so he had no wheelchair, no way to move at all.
Yes, and his brother has to take it everywhere he go. And so I post those information in my network in France, and we were able to send him a tricycle. And now he finished education, and more people with disability keep coming out. And I think that was a call for me to start an organization. So we did that, and I raised money here in Santa Fe and also in many other cities in the U.S. And thank you all for all my supporters, donors, and friends here who stood for me in this project. And last summer, we were able to give water to with the Rotary Club in France, Germany, and England, and Romania. We gave water to 20,000 people.
You dug wells. You raised funds and dug wells to provide. Because before they were going to the river with buckets to get water.
And then also they drink any kind of water with warm inside. And, you know, they have a lot of diseases. So, and also write grants. So, so it was grant from Rotary Foundation in the U.S. in Evanston, Illinois. So we were able to provide clean water to 20,000 people who never tasted clean water before.
Wow.
So, and amazing. We have another major project. We bring in a local surgeon who's like a bush doctor. His name is George Bwele. Mm-hmm. He was on CNN, one of the top 10 last December. And he comes to the village one here a week to give surgery to people in the village. So this is what we have done in the past.
So and now you have this huge new project called Radio Taboo, and I want to make sure I mention that tomorrow night at the screen at 7 p.m., there's going to be first a slideshow giving a little background on your projects, and there's a 35-minute film that you've made about this project. It's the first half. It's going to be a more, it's going to be a total film, and this is like the first half. That's all you had money to produce so far.
Yes, and it's not my movie. I am a filmmaker as well because I teach movie making, but it's a movie made by Issue TV, which ended one of the founders called Sophie Romanier.
Yes.
So she was a local-based activist and artist here in Santa Fe, and then she moved to Texas several years ago, maybe about 2 years. So she came with me last year in Cameroon. But I have to also explain the background is that After a successful Kickstarter campaign in the spring 2013, we raised $21,000, and we gave some percentage to Kickstarter, and then the rest we took it to Cameroon, and they went with me to the village to build a 150-foot tower. So that's the story of in the movie
Radio Taboo.
Yes.
So, you know, a lot of people listening are thinking you're from this very poverty-stricken area in Cameroon. The people have only now gotten clean water, thanks to you, and very basic medical care.
Right.
And you're going to start a radio station? You know, I think it might sound like, shouldn't that be way down on the priority list? Explain why it's so important.
No, it's very, very important because the reason why people are listening to us right now is because the voice travel. And we are also a community radio. So people are able to be in touch with what the reality in this Santa Fe place is. And in the rural village in Africa, it's a very, very important that people know what's going on in the neighborhood. Because somebody could be having a recipe to prevent HIV and AIDS, and he has a nowhere to... Like my brother runs HIV and AIDS prevention campaign. He has to ride his bike to go village to village, village to village, to explain things to people. And before that, you have to fight taboo in the society. So with the radio, we'll be able to just broadcast news, train the villages, broadcast news by them and for them, so they can be able to access those information, those resources.
Talk about the taboos that exist in your culture, in your village.
Well, it's very, very difficult because I grew up myself being a victim of taboo because I had a father who was very religious, and then I was forbidden not to draw anybody. I was punished, my brother and I. Each time they would cut us drawing or reading cartoon book, because when you draw somebody, you challenge God. You're trying to do what God did to create a first human. So you can understand in which kind of environment I grew up. But it was very challenging childhood that helped me to be stronger today and to do the work. And another thing is... 3 years ago, I was missioned by Amnesty International Sweden to go track a gay man who was sentenced for sending a text to another man. And then they knew that I care about these issues, but I didn't know what gay rights was in Cameroon. And then so I went to Cameroon that summer and I freed that man. He was in probation. But last January, his family let him to death, so he wasn't able to make it because he has an infection in prison, and it's a shame to have a gay person in your family in Cameroon. And I also discovered that all people who have been sentenced for gay rights, for gay activities in Cameroon did not cross the law. It was just based on denunciation, or the police can arrest you coming back from nightclub with lipstick.
So it's illegal to be gay.
It's illegal.
And if you anyone can call you gay, people could try to use that against you, and then you might be arrested.
Yeah, but Holly, the reason why I'm a human rights activist is because when you're gay in Cameroon and you're rich, nobody will attack you. You will violate the law arrogantly. But if you're poor, then you're going to get in trouble. Even the population can mob attack you. Do you think it's normal?
I beg your pardon?
Do you think that's normal? We can't just have a law for the poor a law that protects the rich people.
Unfortunately, you know? Yes.
Yeah, and most of the time, that's how Cameroonian government operates. Uh-huh. And not only for the gays. You know, women has no right in Cameroon because there is a polygamy in Cameroon. Also from a polygamous family. Some women have rights, but most of them don't can marry many men because that's the only option they have. And then the gays have something they call, our readers can Google that. It's called breath ioni. It means the mother press with anions the chest of the girl so it doesn't develop so men can rape them. And then these need education. Just be in the radio and tell the ladies to educate the men, not to hurt the girls so men can see them. So it's a wrong way that the mind read problems in the society. So I think with the radio we can explain all that.
So these are they're issues that are not only problems, human rights issues, such as the gay rights thing, the women women's rights,
and then people with disabilities too.
The
they have a curse. Then
the
culture say they have a curse, and I don't think it can be a culture because a culture cannot hurt people.
Right.
Culture is something that's valuable, that can be a little controversial, but not really. For example, in Santa Fe, before I moved in this town, I used to be a dog walker.
Uh-huh.
You know, I walked dog of people to pay my rent or
uh-huh.
pay my bills. And when I say that to my mother, she say, "Oh my God, that's terrible." I say, "It's not. It's a culture. So it doesn't hurt anybody, and people do what they want with the money, or if as long as they're happy."
Mm-hmm. So you're hoping that by creating this radio station, you can have programming created by the people who live in these villages.
Yes,
To talk about and to bring experts maybe, like nurses, to talk about disease or whatever.
Yes, we're already working with them. We have taken a lot of people from Santa Fe. I remember my first volunteer was Jenny Sanborn. So we have gone there to start this program with those people. And many other people are coming from all over the world. So today what we are doing is that we're bringing in the means, that meaning the money that we're raising from here, and work with a radio technician and journalist, women mostly. Technician are men, but women are run the radio, the national radio, and there's a woman on the wheelchair called Hida B. So she's one of my key partners, and she just won Obama Fellowship. So she's coming to the state. I'm very, very excited. That's what we have done for her to be a global voice.
Uh-huh.
So we work with them to take those technicians and those journalists to go to the rural area and then to train them how they run a community radio. And then this radio is for 1 million people who cannot access information. Also, they're also not cell phone signal in the region.
There's no cell phone signal in the region.
And then the challenges are in the radio. You can see how I make a phone call from a stick. If I move my cell phone, I lose the network.
Mm.
And then the day that the weather is very bad, we don't get any signal. So we are cut off from the world.
Isolated, truly isolated.
Mm-hmm.
So did you say that this particular radio station, you will have a signal strong enough to reach 1 million people?
Yes. If we have the means. But we're targeting now to reach 500,000 people because
uh-huh.
there is a lot of debate about that because there's also local policy involved.
Yes.
Because my village is a central, it's right in the middle of the forest, but around my village, there is other tribes. So we want to be able to provide service to them because in Africa, when you want to give something to a community, you only want to make sure the neighbor has something also. Otherwise, they might be in danger or it might create a conflict.
I think that's probably true everywhere.
Okay. I'm glad that it's not only exceptional to my community.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you'll reach something like 8 different tribes in your area and
mm-hmm.
who all have different languages.
Yes, but mostly the tribe are, they're going to be maybe 6 tribes, then the rest will be English, French, and
uh-huh.
sometimes Pidgin English because Cameroon is a country of language. The 20 million people who speak 280 languages.
Wow, 280 languages.
Yes, so it's very intense cultural language society.
So tell me how far you've gotten with the Radio Taboo project.
Well, the first key piece in this project is the tower. So we have a 150-foot tower in the middle of nowhere in the village. That is waiting. And then there is the challenges to go there because there are no even a bridge to go to my village. You have to catch a ferry to go. But the last time we went with the film crew, we had to ride another additional 100 kilometers to catch to get a bridge so we can drive drive for another 200 kilometers to get to the village. And all these challenges I was in the movie, so we're going to see that in the second part.
Uh-huh.
Last year when we started radio, so we like people to come out to see this movie because it will help us to finish the story.
So for listeners who just joined us, I'm talking with Issa Niafaga, who is a human rights activist and working on some development projects.
And Santa Fe-based artist.
And Santa Fe-based artist who is working on some development projects that benefit his home village in Cameroon.
Right.
So, and on Thursday night at 7 o'clock at the Screen. Right. They're going to show a 35-minute film, which is essentially the first half
right.
of a film project that is about Radio Taboo.
Yeah, and then I'd like to thank also one of our main partner is National Geographic Crossroads, because we had a Sea Grant with them.
You had a grant from National Geographic.
Yes, a grant from National Geographic, so they supported in this movie. And I would like to thank all my donors, all my supporters in Santa Fe and all over the state. I can name them all. But I'd like also to say that my friend Nancy King is coming tomorrow to do a reading about African telling story tomorrow before we start the program.
Wonderful.
And then there will be a slow show. So we have a very good program for you. And encourage you to show up tomorrow. I don't know how the weather is going to be, but I hope to see you all there.
I think it'll be a nice day. Well,
yes.
You know, Isai, as you know, I got to see the film.
Right.
And this is a very professionally made, high production values.
Yeah, the credit will go to Sophie Romania and Jay Menton.
Yes, it's an extraordinary documentary that you might see one day on public television.
Yeah,
for example,
have a very, very high ambition with this movie. That's why we don't put it online for the public, because we don't want the value to go down.
Uh-huh.
So the only chance, we struggle to bring that movie to Santa Fe so the community here
can see it.
Because I live here, and then this is where change in my community back home started. But I'm also very involved in the community here in Santa Fe, where I teach art and any kind of stuff, art therapy, social justice art, and anything. Then I also have a project with Laura Marcus at the International for Art Museum.
Museum?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So we have something coming up to train the youth about the issue on migration and all that. So, you know, I am involved here, but I also very global. So
yes.
I want the people in Santa Fe to come and experience that, because I'm a teacher. So that's what I do, inspiring people.
So I wanted to mention that one of the most amazing things about this film, this documentary, is that we get to see your cartooning.
Yes.
Because in addition to shooting a lot of footage in the village to illustrate the story of what's going on there and the work that you've been doing,
right.
and you are the star of the film, so to speak,
yeah.
You also used as a transitional factor, the filmmakers did, you drew cartoons to illustrate certain parts of the story, and then they used time-lapse photography, film,
right.
so that you see the drawing of these cartoons, you know, in a blink of an eye.
Right.
But you're an extraordinary cartoonist.
Thank you.
And they add, they really, really enliven the documentary in a way that's very important.
Yeah. Well, each time I collaborate with artists, because I collaborate with a lot of artists, and I know that people in Santa Fe love movies making, so they will love this movie, but I give a lot of freedom, like over 100% freedom to the filmmaker to do what she wants creatively with the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So she was open to create anything. And then this collaboration was amazing, because it didn't involve ego or those things, because Sophie has a very, very mellow and humble personality.
Mm-hmm.
And she's very young, and she has done another movie called Yellow Fever.
Mm-hmm.
It was screened here at the Independent Film Festival in Santa Fe. So she has the freedom to use whatever I have, my painting or my way to cartoons. So I was always available for her to, you know, create something with this movie. So I love the movie a lot. Even that I am the centerpiece of the movie. What I like in this movie is that everybody that I introduced them to in Cameroon to talk about the project in the movie did not talk about me being great or amazing or providing water and all these things. No. The radio is the star.
Yeah.
So in the movie, you notice that maybe people are saying how much change and how incredible the radio would change the life of people in a rural area in Cameroon. So that's what I love with this movie. So it's making me so happy.
Yeah.
Even that all the story is not fully about my, you know, growing my ego.
Yeah.
It's all about the project that I'm bringing in the country. And everybody is finding that exciting. So that's why I like this movie.
You mentioned that when you go back to Cameroon, you feel in danger of being arrested again. Is that true?
Oh, yeah, because the government is very brutal. And one journalist was sentenced this week in Cameroon.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of people still in prison.
Uh-huh.
And because I did not calculate it, what I do today, I become a global voice, because I find myself in a circle of being somebody who just have to take action. And I am in a position to tell African people that each time you hurt your own citizen, you're making your own country weaker. You can't have a strong nation if a quarter of your population in jail and half of them are not educated and people are struggling to have a meal a day or can either have a call or take that money to have a meal with. You know, you cannot have a strong nation if you marginalize your own people.
Yes.
It's not possible. I am in that position. Whatever it is in human rights violation, I am on that position. And there are many of us, you know, like community leaders raising forces to tell African nations not to do that.
Mm-hmm. So when you go home, do you have to take extraordinary measures to protect yourself, or do you just try to stay under the radar while you're there?
Well, as a young cartoonist, I used to denounce the government directly, so which I'm not doing today because my struggle, my activism got wiser. So today what I do is do different action without denouncing the government to show that the organization I'm creating, what I'm providing to my village, they're supposed to do that. Mm-hmm. Because Cameroon is very rich. It's a country that has gold, minerals, woods, any kind of stuff. If you do research, you'll be amazed how much creative the natural resources in Cameroon are. But people have trouble to have a meal a day. Even those who already have degree cannot find a job. Mm-hmm. They're selling bananas or cigarettes by
the street.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And anything I tell you in this show, you can put it online and find out. Yeah. Meaning that I'm not making it up.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But I have to take action on my level because I am an artist who just thought that, you know, it's not normal what people do to other people. Mm-hmm. And I also believe that having knowledge is a power.
Do you, how often do you get to go to your village?
Well, I spend about 9 months here in the U.S. Mm-hmm. Working on this issue and teaching also and promoting my vision and my work because it's the fertile land for it. And then I stop in Paris for 1 month because I have a 20-year-old boy in school there.
Uh-huh.
So he and I have a conversation often and that's where he wants to be. Then I spend the summer in Cameroon for 3 months working on the villages. And I run all these programs on bush taxi or sometimes by motorcycle, or I hike the villages for 6 hours. That's
hike.
What I do.
Yes.
In this. Yeah, I hike.
You because often have to walk.
It's
yeah.
the only way I can get to villages to see people and do mm-hmm. community mapping, need assessments, you know, mm-hmm. have the villages to tell me the challenges and I write it down.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm almost the one who's doing over 50% of the work. You know, mm-hmm. I understand how the dynamic works, how the world is changing today, and we have to include the change, how we act. So I'm reinventing myself every day as a founder of an organization, as an artist, and as a community leader. So I don't even know how I do that. I don't have a car to run this organization in the village. So this is what I do, is like balancing act.
And do you still have family in your village?
Oh, my God, yes. Mm-hmm. My mother, who gave me birth, lived in the village.
Mm.
So she's still a farmer.
Mm-hmm.
And then so I also struggled to see her because, you know, I left the country. I decided for 2 weeks to leave forever and never came back. Mm-hmm. So I kind of feel like it wasn't fair for me to be away for 18 years. So
yeah.
Creating an organization, being connecting back to my childhood memories or do this work, is also because I want to be there with her for some time, for the
sure.
only amount of time that I have in the summer. So that's why I do. And I invite everybody to come to Cameroon and see how it is, because if anybody want to go global in Santa Fe, I am. I am the bridge.
Come along. Bring your checkbook.
And sure.
So I just want to repeat that tomorrow night at the screen at 7 o'clock, there's going to be a screening of Radio Taboo.
Yes,
film.
I'll be there also for discussion.
Yeah, of course you will.
Yeah,
You'll
I
get
will.
To see him on the screen and live and in person,
right.
Isenia Faga, about his project in Cameroon to build a radio station. What is it that you still need to make the radio station go live?
Well, right now we are writing grants and we're also putting up some pieces for people to purchase so we can collect the money. So we need to raise $200,000.
Mm-hmm.
And then one quarter of the money will help us to run the radio there. Then the rest, three quarter of the money will help us make the radio. And then the rest will go to administrative fees and also challenges to get in the village, because you mm-hmm. will see that in the movie. You see how we struggle to get there.
But yeah. you're still raising money to buy some of the broadcasting equipment and to train the journalists, the villagers to be broadcast journalists.
Yes, that's what most of the money we do. And also this movie, we want to show in Santa Fe because we shot the movie at the town of Afsana in Pecos, where my adoptive family is, Sherwin and Laura Tarnoff and Tom and everybody that are supporting the movie. And then some of the people in Santa Fe also who live here who came to the screening to the filming last year, going to see themselves in the movie. So it's like a community-based movie that also is growing global. You know, so we have a lot of ambition about this project. And we'll get there.
Thank you. Thank you, Isa, for being on the show today. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Hollis Walker, sitting in for Mary Charlotte.